Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Nate Fluharty, and this is a brand new edition of Healthline 3, where we love to focus on ways to help you live a healthier life. Over the next 30 minutes, we're going to be taking your calls and answering your questions. So right now, between now and about 27 minutes after, we'll be taking your calls. So 318-219-4569. We're going to be putting that up at the bottom of the screen. And today's featured guest is Dr. Kamal Barakhta from WK Robotic and Laparoscopic Surgery. Dr. Barakhta, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, and this is a very timely topic, one that impacts a lot of people. So I'll let you kind of open up the box. What are we talking about today?
So we'll talk about hernia and their impact on our daily lives and the options on how to repair those if you're a surgical candidate.
All righty. And yeah, this is a big deal because I didn't realize how many Americans could be suffering from that, of course, a hernia, and they may be living with it, not even know they have it. Tell us about
Correct.
That.
So obviously hernias come in many different forms, anywhere around the abdominal cavity is in terms of general surgery. And patients can, you know, have symptoms that range from a painless bulge or a weakness anywhere around the abdominal wall to having pain, having swelling, having tenderness at that area, especially on exertion or straining, or if you're somebody active and you're lifting heavy things or a job that may be physically demanding, can also increase the risk of having hernias. And if that's the case, then usually those hernias tend to worsen over time as you continue to be physically active.
Mm-hmm. So. And this happens in and around your belly area, your stomach?
Correct.
Okay.
Around the belly area in the groin regions most commonly. Or you can also have weakness around the umbilicus. And if patients have surgical history or you have an incision around the abdomen, that can also get weak over time and can also develop into a hernia.
Okay. Do you find that more women are prone, more men prone to having a hernia?
Both sexes are prone to hernias. The inguinal hernias are more commonly in male, but the rest of the hernias are pretty equally common in both sexes.
What about age? You know, do you typically see that as a person ages, they're more likely to get a hernia, or does age matter? I mean,
not necessarily.
Really?
What's a big factor is if you have prior surgical history, you're more prone to having hernias as opposed to not. Some of these defects or weaknesses are congenital, meaning you're born with them, and they get worse over time with physical activity.
Hmm. Now, when you say surgery, kind of a dumb question, but is it specifically a surgery in that area, or, you know, because I had hand surgery that I'm more likely to get it? So does it matter where you had your surgery?
Around the belly, of course.
Okay, yeah. Okay, I got you. It kind of weakens those muscles.
It weakens those muscles,
okay.
Correct, okay. That cover the intestines and cover the abdominal cavity.
I got you. Correct. Now, you said there are different types of hernias. Well, you mind breaking that down for us?
For us in general surgery, most commonly what we see are hernias that involve the groin region on both sides, the umbilical area, because there's a weakness there naturally that you're born with. You can also have hernias around the stomach area, where a portion of the stomach may get pulled into the chest. And those patients tend to have increased acid reflux. They may also notice difficulty swallowing or difficulty eating, essentially, or things don't go down as easy. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the signs that could represent or could suggest a hernia as well.
Wow, that is, that just sounds painful. So I'm sure some folks out there may be questioning right now whether you could be dealing with the hernia, especially if you have that type of pain. But we want to remind you real fast, too, the phone lines are open right now. Pick up the phone, give Dr. Barakhta a call, and of course, he's the pro from WK Robotics and Laparoscopic Surgery. That number is 318-219-4569. And that's why we love to have these health lines. This is your chance to get your questions answered from one of the best that does it, especially locally, one of the best in the state. I was asking you, Dr. Barakhta, before this, you know, where you come from, and you've been doing this for quite some time, especially locally.
Correct. I've been in practice now 10 years, in addition to 5 years of training and residency that I did in Washington, D.C.
Yeah. Well, we are certainly lucky to have you here in the Arklatex, no doubt about that.
Well, thank you.
So pick up your phone, give Dr. Brodka a call right now, and let's dive back into it. You know, when it comes to these types of issues, too, I mentioned how painful it must be. When do people get to the point where they're like, I guess when do you start thinking, I think I have a hernia, as right. opposed to the regular pain that somebody may have with indigestion or, you know, right. some dietary issues.
Yeah. So usually, especially once, because hernia, the natural progression of the hernia, once you have it, initially it may start as a small bulge that goes in and out or can easily be pushed back, and that may not be very painful. But as that hernia gets larger over time, that area becomes weaker, and you start having more pain. Mm-hmm. Usually that's when patients present because of the limitation of their ability to, you know, do the things they usually do from day to day.
Is there always a bulge?
Most commonly, okay. especially the abdominal wall hernias around the muscles that cover the intestines. Now the stomach hernia that we were talking about earlier, that one you're not gonna see a bulge because it's usually a hernia that goes into the chest.
Okay.
So you're not going to see a bulge, but some of the signs of that type of hernia, which is called a hiatal hernia, is inability to eat. You may get full very early. You may also have heartburn that doesn't go away with or doesn't get better with medication. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the signs.
Wow. So if a person suspects that they may be have a hernia, is that something their general practitioner would check for or should be able to tell, or do they have to immediately kind of start the ball rolling to come see you?
Correct. So if you're a patient out there suspecting that you may have a hernia or signs or symptoms that suggest a hernia, you can just visit with your primary care provider and they'll be able to do some tests, studies, do an exam. Physical exam will reveal most of these, and if not, there are certain diagnostic images that can be obtained to help with the diagnosis. And once the diagnosis is made, then a referral is usually made to a surgeon.
Okay. So, yeah, let's walk through the path. So somebody goes, they see their general practitioner, they say, okay, there's a bulge there, I see it, let's check it. It looks like a hernia to me. We're going to get you in, we're going to have you go see Dr. Brodka. Mm-hmm. So what's the next step once you get a patient like that?
So the next step, once the patient is referred to me, I see them in clinic, we do a history, we take a history and do a physical exam, confirm the hernia. If the hernia is confirmed, then we discuss options of how to treat the hernia from a surgical standpoint.
Okay, and you know, when it comes to that, that's hence the laparoscopic surgery. That's mm-hmm. you know, another big reason why you're here to talk about some of the treatment options and things like that. Does it always result in surgery, or most times, or?
Most commonly, yes. Very, very minor situations or exceptions where surgery may not be an option mm-hmm. In certain patients, but most commonly, or the vast majority of patients, are surgical candidates. And usually, typically with these hernias, again, because of the limitation of the being able to be physical, usually we recommend repair. Because once you restore the integrity of the abdominal domain, mm-hmm. your patients are able to be more functional and able to carry on their daily lives.
All yeah. right. Well, we are going to be talking at great length some of the options that Dr. Brodka has when it comes to fixing you if you do have a hernia, some incredible state-of-the-art stuff. But we already have our first caller on the line, and that's what this show is about, you, our viewers, and getting your questions answered. So, Williams, good afternoon. What's your question for Dr. Brodka?
Okay, well, I just want to know, I have a hernia, but I have, like, ursiculitis and inflammatory bowel disease. And I just wonder, could it be moved? It's a high hernia, and I'm having all the symptoms that you say. I'm burning, and food don't digest. You think, I don't know if it's safe to have it, to get it removed.
Yes, certainly. Did you say a hiatal hernia?
Uh-huh, yes, sir. And I've been fighting the disease, inflammatory bowel disease, and ulcerative over 30 years, about 30 years.
Yeah. So if you're having symptoms from the hiatal hernia, and you're having heartburn, acid reflux, or difficulty with eating or swallowing, then I would certainly seek a visit with your primary care physician, and they can certainly refer you for further evaluation. because there are options on treating those hernias as well.
Okay, then. That's what I want to know, sir.
Yes, of course. You're very welcome.
I told you. Dr. Brockton knows his stuff. Well, hey, Williams, thank you so much for the call. We do appreciate that. And great question and even better response. So you're a man. We're going to put you to the test today. So that's what our callers are calling in right now. We already have our next caller on the line. And I believe we have Brenda. Brenda, what's your call for Dr. Brockton?
Hello?
Hello.
Yes. Hi, Brenda.
Yeah, I'm calling about, I've had two hernia repairs, and the doctor says I have another one, and I'm like getting out of breath and waking up at night, have to sit up out of breath, have to hit my inhaler and stuff, and I need to know, where do I need to go from now?
Where
I need hernia surgery again.
Where do you have the other hernia? You said you have another, you think you have another hernia?
Yeah.
Where, if I may ask?
It's in the top part of my stomach. It's real, real hard. And the doctor checked it. My primary physician checked it and told me I need to be referred to another doctor.
Yes, we can certainly, once you visit with your primary care physician, once they refer you, you just need to be referred to a surgeon, and that can certainly be examined. And if it is a hernia indeed, then there's definitely options to get that repaired. If you're having issues, or if it's painful, if it's giving you a hard time carrying on your daily activities.
Yes, it is. So do you have a surgeon over there I can be referred to?
Sorry, what was that again?
I said, do you have a surgeon that I can be referred to go to?
Yes, we're absolutely. You can certainly self-refer if you wish to. You are more than welcome to call our clinic and make an appointment. Our number is 318-212-6270.
212-6270?
Yes, ma'am, correct.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
No problem. Great call there, Brenda. We do appreciate that. So if you feel like maybe you could be dealing with a hernia right now, maybe a loved one, Dr. Brockton is in the house today to break that down, answer some of the questions that you have. Let me give this number one more time. It's 318-219-4569. About a third of the way through, too. So if you have a question for Doctor, make sure you give us a call. Let's get these questions answered for you in the next 15 minutes. So let's get back to it, Dr. Brockett. And, you know, Brenda asking there about some treatment options. Do you find that people, you know, that may be dealing with a hernia, they get it fixed, are they more prone to get more hernias in the future?
Correct. There's always the risk of a hernia coming back once you fix it. Again, of course, depends on the patient, the hernia type, the comorbidities, how the hernia is repaired. There's a lot of factors that go into whether a repair is lasting or there's a risk of that repair failing and a hernia coming back.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to be talking more. I want to get at this laparoscopic surgery, but again, this show is dedicated to you, our viewers. We already have our next caller on the line for Dr. Brodka. So, who do we have? Deborah. Deborah, good afternoon. What's your question for the doc?
Yes, I have had two hernia surgeries. I had an epigastric hernia and an umbilical hernia, and I have one that I've been dealing with for a long time. It's a hiatal hernia. I have to be careful how I eat and what I do because of it. It was a very serious surgery when I first got it. They said it was like having open heart surgery, so I'm so grateful that now they have the laparoscopic surgery available. I'm not sure if I want to have that or not, but I want to inquire and see what it all entails.
Sure, of course. Brenda, correct?
Deborah.
Yes. I'm sorry. Yes, Ms. Deborah. There are certainly a lot more options nowadays as compared to 10, 20 years ago, especially with the advent of the robotic surgery, these hiatal hernias are a lot easier to deal with nowadays, and the outcomes are much, much better than they used to be. Because of the technology, it enables us to get to that hernia in a much safer fashion and minimal invasive way.
Well, that's what I was thinking, that I would be interested in probably having it done. But I am 70 years old. Is that an option for a person my age, or should I not think about
it? Of course, it's absolutely an option. A lot of our patients, range from age, all the way to 80, 90, even 100. So age is just a number, as we say. And as long as you're a healthy individual, you're active, and you want to continue to be active, there's no reason not to seek an evaluation or seek answers. So,
I really appreciate the information. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, we've had some great questions already. And, I keep saying this, that this is what the show is about, to get your questions answered. So if you have a question, pick up the phone, give us a call. Just over the halfway point here on Healthline 3, 318-219-4569 is the number to call. You are lighting up the phone lines today, my man. You're getting some good questions and great answers. We already have our next caller on the line, and we certainly appreciate it. Let's get to that call. Charles is on the line right now. Charles, good afternoon. What's your question for Dr. Brotka?
Yes, I have a question. You pretty much answered it on the last caller about the different types of surgery. But what I was wondering is on the hernia in the groin area, do you use laparoscopic or do you use the robotic?
So
surgery.
Yes, both are option. Nowadays, with the robotics, these surgeries are a lot more feasible and easier to do. And also tend to be, the outcomes are a lot better for the patient as well, of course. Instead of the old days, we did most of these inguinal hernia or the groin hernias, we did them open. Nowadays, a lot of them are done robotically. And again, they're done in minimally invasive fashion. They're an outpatient procedure, and patients tend to do great.
Where do you do the surgery at Willis-Knighton? Over on Greenwood?
Correct. We do surgeries at Willis-Knighton North, the main campus. We also do them at Piermont campus.
Okay. Well, that pretty much answers my question then. also, I have one more. Is it covered by Medicare? If you're on Medicare, I'm
70
years old, so.
Uh-huh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, that answers my question.
All right, Charles.
You're very welcome, Charles.
Yes, great questions there. I know a lot of people, that always comes up, whether insurance covers it, Medicare, Medicaid. So that's certainly nice tonight. Nice
yeah,
to
there
hear
are, I mean, you know, all those insurances cover this type of procedure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, let's, before we head back to the phone lines here, Doc, let's break down what laparoscopic surgery, what that is versus the robots.
Sure.
What's the difference there?
So, laparoscopic surgery is basically surgery that's been around for 2 to 3 decades now, and robotics is basically an extension of laparoscopy. It's doing the procedure through small little incisions, minimally invasive fashion, which obviously infers less pain, quicker recovery for the patient. And robotics is basically an extension of laparoscopy. What it adds basically technology that has incredibly superb camera that gives us three-dimensional view, a great resolution, magnification up to about 8 times of what you can see with your eyes. And more importantly, the instrumentation is what makes this technology great.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you have instruments that are essentially wristed and have up to 270 degrees of rotational freedom. So you can use those instruments to get into small spaces, handle the tissues delicately in a much more precise fashion than you would otherwise with just laparoscopy.
Interesting. Very small incisions, too. It's not like you have to completely open somebody up for something like that. Yes, that is truly fascinating, the technology and how far it's come over the recent years. All right, we already have our next caller on the line. Jeannie, good afternoon. What's your question for Dr. Rodka?
Okay. I have a rather large hernia, and I was wondering, I have scar tissue from previous surgeries, and because of that, they haven't been able to view a lot of stuff inside me. And so I was wondering, what's the risk of, like, the robotic or the laparoscopic, you know, maybe your main arteries, you know? I'm concerned about that.
Yes, of course.
The dangers in that.
Right. Of course, as we all know, there's no surgery that comes without risk. There are risks involved in every surgery, any procedure that that you might consider. If you happen to be a candidate for a robotics procedure, these procedures tend to reduce that risk as compared to open procedures. And nowadays, again, because of the technology, those risks are very low. The risk of bleeding, the risk of infection, the risk of having major complications during the operation from the anesthesia, etc. Those risks have been reduced to a very, very low degree nowadays. So.
Okay.
But if you're if you want more answers specific to your case, we'd be glad to get you an appointment in the office, and we can take a look and see what options you may be a candidate for.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yes. And your number?
Our office number is 318-212-6270.
6270. Okay. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Jeannie. We do appreciate that. And if you got about 8 minutes to go here, so give us a call right now if you have a question for Dr. Brodko from WK Robotic and Laparoscopic Surgery, one of the best in the biz. 318-219-4569. Now is the time to give us a buzz. Let's go right to the phone lines right now. Deborah, good afternoon. What's your question for Dr. Brodko?
Yes, I was curious to you again about the robotic, because my husband had a robotic surgery for prostate cancer, and then he had two hernia surgeries after that. But I was amazed at the bruising that was up and down his abdomen from the robotic. And I was wondering, is blood clots a risk with the robotic surgery?
So blood clots are a risk for any procedure. They're not specific to robotics procedures. Any procedure can put you at a risk of developing a blood clot, and it's mainly because of your endogenal anesthesia, and depending on the duration of that procedure, that's usually what really increases the risk of blood clotting. But the robot is not specific or doesn't necessarily increase your risk of having a blood clot as opposed to other methods of surgical repair.
Okay, well, he'd gotten a blood clot after the surgery and all, but I didn't know if the procedure of the way they clamp you in, if that could cause a blood clot or not. Yeah. I just wasn't sure. I'm surprised.
I'm sorry to hear that he had to go through that. But the robot itself does not increase your risk of developing a blood clot. It's a general risk of any surgical intervention.
Okay. All right, then. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
All righty. So give us a call. A couple more minutes. We do appreciate that call. But 318-219-4569. I mentioned just a couple of minutes left here, about 5 minutes to go. So let's get right back to the phone lines real fast. Robert, good afternoon. What's your question?
My question is, what's the sign of the, if you have a problem?
I'm sorry, what was that, Robert?
You know, I wonder what kind of pain that you have to know if you got a hernia. Because sometimes on my right side, it kind of hurts sometimes when I be trying to take a leak or do a number two.
Yes. So as we mentioned earlier, straining is definitely one of those physical activities that can put you at risk for a hernia, and it can also bring about that pain that may be caused by a hernia, especially in the groin regions. Or if you're lifting heavy objects and you have to bear down, that is certainly something that can put you at a risk of developing a hernia. So if you're noticing pain and a possible bulge or a weakness or pressure, those are all signs that could point to a hernia. And I would recommend that you make an appointment with a primary care physician just to do a physical exam and see if there is a hernia there, especially if it's something that comes and goes with activity.
That's exactly what's going on.
Yep.
That's my question. Thank you.
You're very welcome, Robert.
Yes, absolutely. Well, just a couple of minutes left. I keep mentioning this number. Let's get it out one more time, 219-4569. I just heard you answer Robert's question there. Do you say it comes and goes? It's not a constant pain when it comes to dealing with that?
It may not be.
Really?
If you're resting and you're not active, physically active, that pain may subside, may go away. If you're active and you're straining and that bulge comes back, then you may have the discomfort with it. Because usually it's the increase of pressure intra-abdominally that pushes that pushes through the defect that brings about the discomfort.
Okay. Wow. Very interesting.
If you're resting or you're just laying down and you're no longer active, then that pain may subside and go away.
And now I can kind of see why people live with this for so long before they finally get out there and get the help that they need. Pretty interesting.
Now, if you do end up having pain that doesn't go away or a bulge that doesn't get better, doesn't reduce, then that could point to a more of an urgent situation.
Oh, yeah.
Where you can have intestines that get stuck in the hernia, which can become an emergency.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you don't want to get to that level. That's why you want to get in there, see your primary, and then go see Dr. Brodka. All right, let's get right back to the phone lines. Who do we have on this this one? Donna. Donna, good afternoon. Sorry about that, Donna. What's your question?
That's okay. Yes, my question is about the mesh that they put on when they do hernia surgery. You know, I also know there's been some recalls in the past on that. What happens if your mesh tears and your hernia starts protruding again after surgery?
Right. So, as you mentioned, a lot of these hernias, when we fix them, we do use mesh. Most of the meshes nowadays are very safe. The risk of them causing issues is very, very low. Now, if you do have, if you've had a hernia repaired and it reoccurred, meaning it came back, it could be that that mesh most commonly has shifted and the hernia came back, meaning it's not adequately covering that defect. You can also have a mesh that may tear, although that's less common, commonly seen. So yes, if you do have a reoccurrence or a hernia that came back after it was repaired, then I would certainly get an appointment and take a look and see exactly why that hernia came back.
All right, thank you very much for the call. We certainly appreciate it. And Dr. Brodka, back to this technology to use. I want to just backtrack real fast. It's super safe. It seems like using the robots and the state of the art technology that you use has to make it safer than what the alternatives were 5, 10, 20 years ago.
Correct. Absolutely. Robotic surgery is very safe. Again, of course, just like any instrumentation, because it's a mere instrument that we use to help us get the job done. Of course, there is a learning curve for anybody who starts to do robotics, but once you've gone over your learning curve, the tool itself is very safe and very beneficial for patients, and it definitely offers great outcomes when it comes to doing hernia surgery.
Okay, very good. Well, a quick shout out to all of our callers today. I think we set a personal best here for Healthline. Absolutely fantastic. But I also know and realize that there are a lot of folks out there that may have been watching that didn't get a chance to pick up the phone to give us a call today. And we want to still get your questions answered. So, Dr. Brodka, are you taking patients right now? And if so, where's a good place that people can find you?
Yeah, we are, absolutely. You can certainly call our number. As I mentioned earlier, it's 318-212 6270. That's our office number. If you wish to make an appointment, you can also see your primary care provider directly and have them reach out and give us a referral. That's also another option.
Okay, so reach out, hit up the doc at WK Robotic and Laparoscopic Surgery. Definitely a great segment here today on Healthline, and hopefully you'll be back soon. I'm sure we're going to have a lot more callers for you.
I'd be happy to. Thank you.
All right, fantastic. Well, thank you, sir, and certainly wish you the best in the new year.
Thank you for having me.
Keep up the good work to you and your team. And that is going to do it for today's Healthline. Stay tuned, more to come. You can always go to our website at ktbs.com for more. Have a happy and healthy day, everyone.